I were to title my notes this morning, it would be, it's a little bit of a play on words, the widow's mite. There's a couple of parables in Scripture about widows, and the one parable talks about the widow and her two mites that she puts in the offering. And as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, you know, we all have a role to play in the body of Christ. And sometimes we feel like our role may be very insignificant, but we just got to remember the widow who gave from her, from what she had, and that offering was more meaningful than a person who might have given much more, but out of great riches. And this parable is a widow's mite, M-I-G-H-T. And it's our reading this morning. This parable illustrates a widow's mite, or her strength. And against all odds, she won her, if you want to call it a lawsuit or a complaint against a dishonest adversary. And she had to do this through a heartless and I guess we would call him unscrupulous, uncaring judge. And let's stand for the reading of the word, Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. It's in your bulletin. I have it separated in four different sections, but they're all there. And our points this morning, they all begin with P. You know, we know 4-H, but these are the four P's, I guess. Okay, so reading in Jesus' name, Luke 18, 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. And Lord, now as we look into the scriptures this morning, I just pray that you will give me the words that I need to say, and Lord, just put the thoughts in my head in my mind of the things that you want us to hear this morning. And Lord, I just pray now for your truth to shine through, and let us not waver from your word. And now, Lord, I just thank you again in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Our daughter and son-in-law and their family were up visiting us this week, and she was talking about they have a little guy, Rollo. What is Rollo? 5 years old, and he's a little bit. He may have some special needs, but he is persistent, and she was talking about how he would pester her for something, whether it's big or small or whatever. And I think we've all had this situation, and maybe we put our own parents in this situation where we go into a store or something and it's like they see something, oh, I gotta have that. And they pester and pester and pester. I think that may be why my dad would always go to town by himself. And finally, at some point, they wear us down, and we may give in. And Nicole said, Rollo would say to her, Mom, just say whatever. You know, it's like when they pester us and finally we get worn down, say, okay, whatever. And this is a little bit about what we're looking at here. And of course, we can't compare this judge one-to-one to God, because this judge is unjust. But I think the point is that if this judge would give in to this widow's petition, whom he cared nothing for, how much more will our God listen to us and listen to our petitions? And I'm going to read verse 1, the purpose of this parable. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I think in this case, not to faint doesn't mean just drop. It means not to give up, not to give in to the evil desire, not to pray because he's not listening anyway. We can't let that thought get in. And it points out the necessity to have a prayer life and to have an attitude where if we think of something and if something is on our mind that we have an attitude of prayer. You know, I remember my working days, there would be something on my mind. And, you know, the scripture says to pray without ceasing. And I think there were times when my thoughts would become prayers for that certain instance in my life. And this parable encourages us to have that attitude. And also the purpose of this is to recognize that God is real and he is a character of being merciful and loving, and that we ought to be in a constant state of awareness of God and what he is willing to do for us. And also the purpose is that we realize our need of God. We need his presence, we need his protection. And he cares about our welfare and about our life as we serve him. And that's not to say that he's gonna give us all of our earthly desires, but he is there to comfort and to work through us to provide for ourselves. And another purpose is that, you know, that we reach out to him in prayer. We pray for our, what we call our daily bread, his deliverance from evil, his forgiveness, and the provisions he gives us as we seek him. And another purpose is that we rely on his faithfulness. And we can rest on the assurances that we have in Scripture. And as I've said so many times before, we can be confident of the truth that is given to us in Scripture because so many prophecies have already been fulfilled to the letter, and that gives us assurances that what he says, that his grace is available to us, his grace is sufficient. He has promised that, and we have seen other promises fulfilled, all of them, you know, and we know that the promises that yet to come, the prophecies that we have, are going to be fulfilled. And that also tells us that the things he says about his grace and what he's willing to do for us are also true. And the purpose of this parable is also that we should not faint. And I guess I would say that would be, we should not give up or give in and not give in to the evil things that come our way, that we should keep our eyes fixed upon him and that we should bring our needs to him. And Scripture says that we should cast our cares upon him. In verses 2 and 3, we look at the widow's plight, or the problem she has, and seemingly no way to alleviate her distress. Whether it was, it isn't told us what her issue was with this adversary, but she was a victim of something. So verses 2 and 3 say, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And this widow was evidently a victim of something, and we know that even the religious leaders in those days were, in a lot of cases, wicked, and they would take advantage of these disenfranchised or these people who had no real standing. And I think we know that a widow in those days, and especially if they had no man in their life to advocate for them, whether it's a, obviously if it's a widow, she doesn't have a husband, maybe she doesn't have close male relatives. And it comes to mind that through Jesus Christ, Christ is our advocate. We don't need, if we want to say it this way, an earthly advocate. We don't need a lawyer, so to speak. We can go and bring our petitions to God through Christ, just as this widow, having no other recourse, just kept pestering this guy. You know, she was robbed probably, and she was done wrong, and nobody to defend her, and she was forced to be her own advocate. She was forced to be her own lawyer, if you want to call it that, and appeal to the judge. And this judge was probably no better in character than her adversary, or the person who had wronged her. And he probably, and I'm thinking that he would have been more apt to take this other person's side than the widow's side, because if he was evil and unjust and had no regard for God or man, he was probably very inclined to take a bribe of some sort. So he was devoid of compassion and didn't really have a sense of duty to the office that he was appointed to. He probably used his office as a license to steal from the ones that he was supposed to be protecting. And there again, I want to, you know, as this parable is laid before us, we can't compare this judge to God. That's not the point of this. And in contrast to this judge, wouldn't a God who is loving and merciful to us readily respond to our requests? And her plea for justice was given, I suppose, what we call the cold shoulder. And as again, I would say he would probably be more inclined to favor the adversary. She had nothing with which to bribe him, nobody to speak for her. And as I said, she had to be her own advocate, her own attorney. And you know, she really had a problem here. He would not listen to the facts. He would not be influenced by her problem, and was evidently not inclined to grant her justice. Then we go to the next couple of verses. We talk about her persistence. And this is where we can learn something. The parable sets up this, and this is kind of the point of the whole thing. Verse 4 and 5 say, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So it's kind of like the kid, kind of like the kid we talked about earlier who's pestering for something, for some object or some privilege. And finally, just because it was, he probably figured, well, this fight isn't worth fighting. I'll just give in to her. But and she kept coming at him, insistent, repeatedly. She probably followed him down the street. She probably knocked on his door, went to where his office was, just asking for justice. Probably not asking for anything that wasn't coming to her in the earthly way, but just asking for justice to be done and to just get what was justly coming to her. And she refused to give up or accept the finality of the circumstance. And she had two choices: quit and go home, or to keep on pleading her cause to this evil judge. All was lost if she gave up. She probably, and there again we speculate as to what the issue was, but it had to be big enough so that it really was in some way a life-changing event in her life, this unjust treatment from this other person. And I've already suggested that she probably met him at his door. She probably followed him on the street and just constantly, as I said, wearied him. And eventually he gave in. She gives me no peace or rest. And this judge really didn't care about her or her problem. It was her persistence that won out. And there again, we don't compare this judge to God, because he does care about our problems, but he also wants us to go to him in prayer and to make our petitions known. And then we have the promise in verses 6 through 8. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And he says, you know, hear what the unjust judge said. He gave in. He granted that request. And will not God avenge his own, who cried to him day and night? As those who have accepted God's gift of grace and have chosen to live for him, we are his elect. We are his chosen people. And we continue to seek him. Now, when I say we are his chosen people, I got to qualify that. I don't want to say, I don't subscribe to the replacement theology idea. So when I say we are his chosen, the Jewish people are still what I consider the chosen people. We have been, now this is a whole different topic, but I just don't want you to get the idea that I subscribe to replacement theology. When I use that word chosen, it just popped in my head. Maybe that wasn't the best one to use. But we are those who, as believers and of people who have accepted his gift of grace, and we are to continue to seek him and not to give in to the things that discourage us. There's so many discouraging things around us. It's so easy to get discouraged, depressed. It's easy to... And we see things around us that just aren't right, and it's as if it is easy to kind of give up and say, well, this isn't gonna. How do we reach people in this day and age? It's just not possible. So we just throw up our hands and wait. But he wants us to come to him day and night, rely on him, his promises, and his power in all the situations that develop in our lives and that worry us. And he will always reward our faith and fervor in prayer. And, you know, I have to admit that my prayer life could be better. And there may be others who would say that. But I believe that our prayer life includes the prayers that we have for ourselves and our own situations, the prayers that we have for fellow believers especially within our congregation, and also the prayers we have for unbelievers or those that we see are walking in ways contrary to what the Bible teaches. And we pray for ourselves, we pray for one another as believers, we pray for one another as members of the same community or the same state, the same country. We pray for our leaders. We know that oftentimes these leaders aren't receptive to God's ways. They don't seek him at all, but we still pray for them. And it goes back to, you know, sometimes we tend to pray that God will smite these people who are against us. He will smite these people. But how many of the first century Christians do you suppose prayed that God would smite Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul? How many people do you think, Lord, just remove him from our lives somehow? However you do it doesn't matter. Just get rid of him. How many do you suppose prayed for Saul's salvation? And God endured Saul's wrath against Jesus, and he was reached. And so much of the New Testament is written by Paul, who was a vehemently anti-Christian. He was one of the Jewish leaders. He was tormenting, persecuting those who followed Christ. And then, as the verse says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I just want to read James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. That's in your insert there. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let's spend our time in prayer and worship of God. Let's not give in. You know, and I find these so many of the parables are so encouraging. But they encourage us to seek him. And through prayer and study and things that he just wants from us to do, just follow Christ in all his commands and be in prayer. And I have a little illustration here that I found. One of the largest organizations in America is the Quitters Club. Now, I don't think there's an actual organization, but one of the largest organizations is the Quitters Club. The reason you've never heard of them is because they never meet. The members quit coming. There are no dues. The members quit paying them. The Quitters Club is comprised of people who faced a tough job, a tough marriage, a tough sickness, or a tough failure, and they quit. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. But the going gets tough. The quitters get going away. What we need in America and in the church are people who will exhibit good old-fashioned stick-to-itiveness. That isn't a word, but probably should be. We stick with it. Keep praying to God. Please make your petitions known to Him. And if our prayers are, but we want our prayers to be in alignment with His will. As the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy will be done." We pray for His will to be done in our lives, in our church, in our congregation, in the community. We just pray for His will. And we look at the widow, and maybe as we look at things that, the widows were probably among the least in the hierarchy of the Jewish system, if you want to call it that. These widows, as we've seen in the parables, the one that gave her two mites, the one who was mighty in persistence, they may seem like the least, but they, little as much as if God is in it. There's a song to that tune. And prayer is not little. It may seem little, but it's not. But we are fortunate that we can. We don't go to a heartless judge. We come to a loving Heavenly Father. And I'm just going to close with the last scripture here, Hebrews 9:24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And we know that to be true. Christ is our advocate, and he sits at the presence of God, on the right hand of God, and we know that. And this widow's might, her mightiness was in her persistence. And I read a story about George Mueller, and I should have printed it up, but after he became a Christian, he had five friends or associates that he would pray for to come to salvation. And three of them came fairly quickly. Another one came towards the end of George Mueller's life. And the last one came to Christ after George Mueller's death. But he prayed for these people persistently throughout his life after he became a believer. And do we have that kind of persistence to pray for those around us? Do we care for others as Christ would? And then I like this little quote from a person by the name of William McGill. He says, "The value of persistent prayer is not only that He will hear us, we know He does hear us, but also that we will finally hear Him." Lord, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for the time that we can spend together as a congregation, Lord. And Lord, we want to stay true to Your word, Lord. And we want to come and just, we just desire a spirit of wanting to come to You with our petitions and with our concerns, but also with our praise. And our prayers should have praise, and they should glorify You, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we can be persistent in praying for the cares in our own lives, the cares of our congregation, and also the cares of our community, Lord. And Lord, just use us to reach others through Christ. In Your name, amen.